Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
Welcome back. So, trusts, do they make sense for people? Do they make sense for you? There are lots of myths about trusts, and so I want to dispel, debunk, demystify them, and help you understand them. Now, first, let me say, I'm not an attorney. Don't play one on television or on the radio. And what I'm going to share with you about trust is based on my experience, my training as a certified trust financial advisor and a CPA and a certified financial planner, not as an attorney. So here we go. Trust can make a lot of sense for people. And I get questions all the time about trust. At a recent financial seminar I conducted, people were asking me about estate planning, wills, trust, things like that. And of course, I always recommend that people meet with an attorney to talk to them about their particular situation. But I do have a few general things I can share with you about trust to maybe help you evaluate whether it's something you want to talk to an attorney about, and also explore whether you need somebody to help you with the trust in performing trustee services. All right, so let me give you a couple of things right off the top that are commonly misunderstood about trusts. Number one, the myth is they are just for the wealthy. Well, the reason we think that, or people sometimes have that preconceived idea, is we hear about, either in the news or you see it in television, or you hear about these families with these big perpetuating multi-generational trusts, and people think then that they're only for the wealthy. Well, in fact, they actually are very helpful for people of all asset levels. You don't have to be some sort of legacy family that maybe was in some baron of hotels or the car industry or something like that, or an early industrialist in the United States to benefit from a trust. You could have as little as, I think, a couple $100,000, and a trust could make a lot of sense. So let me give you an example. Let's say, and this is drawn from actual real people, but I've changed it enough to protect the identity. Let's say that you are a widower and you have a home worth $200,000 and you've got investments worth about another $100,000. So that's a total value of about $300,000. And let's say that you, when you die, you want that money to go to your three children. Well, you could use a trust to help make sure that happens, and here's why you might consider that. Let's say that you have the three kids and they don't always get along. Maybe they don't see eye to eye when it comes to you, possibly your needs, your care. They might not get along on how you spend your money, or maybe what you do with your investments, or maybe what should be done when you can't take care of it yourself. You suspect they will fight after you're gone. Maybe they live in different states, and it'll be problematic at a minimum to come and sell your home and finalize and settle your estate. Maybe a couple of your kids are savvy and responsible when it comes to finances, but what if they're not? Maybe one of them has a history of being maybe just not the best with money. Maybe there are people involved that you or concern may be an undue influence or bad influence on your children when they get the money. Maybe a spouse, maybe there is marital strife and you're concerned that your children or child gets your money when you die and then they get divorced and you're worried that the money then goes to the ex-spouse. There are a lot of things that might, you can imagine, be part of a scenario where there are concerns about where that money goes when you're no longer in control. And that's not just at your death. Could also be in your lifetime, but when you are incapacitated. If you aren't able to make your own financial decisions, somebody else will need to. So a trust, along with other documents that are prepared by an attorney, can really help during your lifetime and at your passing that these assets go where you want them to go, when you want them to get there, and also to be dispersed in a way that is consistent with your wishes. So I love the idea of a trust. I think they make a lot of sense if they're done properly. I'm not a big fan of the do-it-yourself online wills and trusts and things of that nature, because I know that attorneys have a lot of experience and they have insight that comes from their practice, and they also can understand your situation better than I think an online software. You know, the robot on the other end of preparing that document for you online doesn't know what you don't know, but an attorney will. So I'm an advocate, no pun intended, for attorneys when it comes to will and trust preparation. Now, so let's go back to our scenario. Let's say that you have the trust and all this put together, and then you pass. Well, a trustee could be either one of the children or multiple children working as co-trustee, or an independent trustee, be that a bank, a CPA, an attorney, or a financial professional who specializes and has the experience in working with trust and maybe credentials in that area, can step in as trustee, hire the realtor to sell the home, liquidate your investments, pay your final expenses, settle everything out, and then provide a final accounting to your beneficiaries along with their respective share of your net estate when you have passed. So they can organize, liquidate, and put it all together, cut it, subtract the expenses associated with the trust administration, associated with settling your estate, and then cut it in three pieces and send it to your beneficiaries, and it's all done. Now, if you have concerns about money going the wrong place or going to somebody who can't handle it, there are statistics out there about inheritances that in many cases, the money's gone pretty quickly. And a lot of people have that concern that they don't want what they've worked their entire lives for to be dissipated within a matter of weeks, months, or even years. They want that money held and preserved. You can do that with the trust. The trustee can hold that money in trust and manage it, invest it, and then disperse it out to the income beneficiary, one of the children, if that's the case, and make sure they get what they need from that. And then later, it can go to someone else. It can go to them after a certain period of time. It can go at a certain age. Sometimes people use certain milestones for ages on when people get the rest of the money. So these are just some of the things you can do with a trust. So trusts are not just for the wealthy. That is really the key thing to know about trust. Number two, they also don't have to be expensive to put in place. The other misconception is that they cost $5,000, $10,000, or more to establish. Now, unless you have a very complicated trust in mind with a lot of complexity of what you want done, or you've got unusual assets, or there's something particularly difficult or complicated, I've seen work by attorneys cost a lot less than that, and it's good stuff. So I think you can get the work done by a competent attorney without having to skimp on what you get, and you can shop around. I would encourage you to ask for a flat rate so there's no surprises, and I've seen many attorneys work that way where they will quote you a fee that says, here's how much it's going to cost for a will, a trust, the certain other documents, power of attorney, things like that, that they can be very clear up front with you about the cost so you know what it's going to entail. So it's not just for the wealthy, and they are not expensive to set up. And the trustee also needs to be compensated, but that too, you can know up front what it's going to be. And many times there's nothing for the trustee to do until you're no longer here to oversee the assets yourself. So trust can be a big part of a financial plan and an estate plan, and they can help you plan stronger.
Where can you find more spin than in politics? If you said financial services, you'd be correct. Just ask a stockbroker or insurance agent how you should invest your money, and what do you think they would say? Unfortunately, if an advisor is limited in what he can offer, that advisor is often understandably biased. You need to ask questions like what products and services they can and cannot offer. Ask about their licensing and credentials. Remain skeptical. This PSA has been brought to you by Holland Financial, who wants to help you to plan stronger. For more information, call 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com.
Hi, welcome back. I'd like to talk to you more about trusts. Okay, I've talked about this on previous programs, but I think it's real important to share some stories with you about why consider trust as part of your financial planning and retirement and estate planning. You know, you work hard all your life to accumulate so that you can use the money in your retirement. And the whole point of accumulating for retirement is so that you can have a stream of income. You can make lump sum payments, purchases, expenditures for certain things. And for a lot of people, they want to leave a legacy. They want to make the lives of their family, their beneficiaries, that much easier. So a trust as part of an overall estate plan can help accomplish that. I've got a couple of compelling stories that I've seen firsthand that will help you think about whether a trust is right for your situation. And again, I'm not an attorney. I do have specialized extra training, if you will, in trust, certified trust financial advisor. Took a week away from my family to go and go through that curriculum and then pass a four-hour exam. So I paid a little bit of my dues on that. So let's talk about these stories. I've got two for you, and they're very compelling. Number one, Mark. Mark had accumulated about $2 million by the time he had turned age 55. He had a career of sales and entrepreneurship, had worked very, very hard, and he had accumulated a good chunk of money. When I met him, he was married, but then subsequently he got divorced. They never had any children, and he became a client of mine, and we worked together for a number of years. One of the things that we worked on together was establishing his estate plan, which included wills, trust, all of that. And we worked with an attorney to advise him and prepare those documents. Good so far. Well, unfortunately, a few years later, Mark became ill. And he also, not only did he become ill, but he wanted to see the world. He had a sense that he would not last that long. And he ended up being right. But amongst his travels and his illness, he had the documents in place beforehand, which was really good. He was able to get his bills paid when he couldn't pay them because there was a power of attorney in place. He was able to have his financial affairs managed for him when he could no longer do it. And then when he did pass on, his estate was handled, organized, and the expenses were able to be kept in check because they were prepared. There wasn't a lot of running around trying to figure things out after the fact. So when he passed, his ex-wife received a certain amount of money. His family received a certain amount of money. And then the remainder, and those monies went discreetly. One of the things with a trust is it's private. So those monies went discreetly to his family. And then additional monies were retained by the trust and were earmarked to go to charities on an annual basis. And Mark asked me to serve as the trustee of his trust. And so in doing that, that allowed me to oversee it and manage the money, but also to make sure the money went where he wanted it to go. And so because of that pre-planning, that making sure things were lined up beforehand, his affairs were able to be handled in an orderly fashion. That's really the key point here. Absent that, it would have been chaos. It would have been a mess. So there are distinct advantages of having a trust. And Mark's story is definitely a good example of that. Now, here's another one, just to reiterate or I guess re-adhere to or reinforce the importance of the trust. The other example I have for you is Larry and Lucy. Larry and Lucy, these are real people, changed the names, changed the information a little bit to protect their identity, but Larry and Lucy have about $500,000. They are receiving Social Security and pensions, and that allows them pretty much not to have to dip into their savings. And they don't anticipate needing to do that absent some emergency. They're expecting to leave at least $500,000 as an inheritance to their daughter, Meg. Well, Meg is in her 30s. She's currently unmarried with no children. They are concerned if something happens to leave that much money to Meg all at once. So, with the trust, they're able to make sure that all those dollars that are left over go into the trust and are preserved and protected and can be dispersed out to Meg. And their idea is that she would receive $2,000 a month for the rest of her life. And then after her lifetime, the monies could go to other beneficiaries, that not her, but other folks. And the key thing about this particular trust planning arrangement is it's a revocable trust. So during their lifetime, if they want to change it, if they feel more comfortable with Meg's maturity and she is on the path that they feel like she can handle these monies when they pass on, they can revoke the trust completely. They can amend it. They can make changes. They can do all those things while they're still alive and they're competent. So they retain control. But if there are other changes, for example, let's say that Meg gets married, has children, they can change the trust to include those beneficiaries. They can include her spouse or not. They can add the children, which would be their grandchildren, to the trust so that after they die, Meg gets money for her lifetime. And then after she passes, the money then is earmarked for the grandchildren. And then they could get income from the trust for a period of time without receiving the corpus or the all of what's in the trust all at once. And these types of things have been done for decades by families who want to pass money down the generation. Sometimes they're called dynastic trusts or like a dynasty. So the money passes down without the income beneficiary getting all that money at once. Now, there's still the latitude that can be afforded to the trustee that lets the trustee act as the parents, the grantors of the trust, how they would have acted if they had been alive. So for example, let's say that Meg is getting this $2,000 a month after the parents have passed on. And let's say that she runs into some personal difficulties. Let's say she has a substance abuse problem or there is something else that happens. The trustee can have discretion that is written into the trust. These instructions are part of the trust that instead of paying her a couple thousand dollars a month, which is what the trust says, the trustee can stop paying her and instead make payments on her behalf to a rehab center. Or let's say that she is in an auto accident and there are creditors that come after her. Well, and again, this is not my legal opinion because I'm not an attorney, but commonly arranged for in a trust is that those assets are not attachable by creditors of Megan in this example. So you can do a lot of protecting the beneficiary and those assets from going where you don't want them. And the best example of all is if Megan got married and then the parents were to die and then subsequently the spouse divorces Megan and then tries to get those trust assets as a marital asset, tries to say, hey, I'm due part of that money. Typically, that's not considered an asset that would be divided. It stays in the trust for Megan's future benefit. So all of these are reasons why a trust can help you plan stronger.
Are you looking for a trustworthy local advisor for your investment and retirement planning, but you're not sure how or where to begin? Start by looking for a certified financial planner practitioner. Visit www.cfp.net to search for an advisor in your local area who's earned this highly regarded professional certification. Pick 3 CFP practitioners. Set an appointment and interview them. Ask questions. Listen carefully to their answers. Check references and research their firms with the Better Business Bureau. This PSA is brought to you by Holland Financial, who wants to help you to plan stronger. For more information, call 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com.
Welcome back. More to share with you about estate planning. Now, an often overlooked part of estate planning is communication. You know, you can get all the documents in place. You can work with an attorney. You can work with an advisor or financial planner to do your estate planning. Wills, trusts, powers of attorney, all of those important documents. You can make the effort to protect your assets, to do good planning, investment strategies. You get long-term care insurance to protect your assets from, or at least help with the cost of long-term care. You take all these steps. You talk to your CPA about tax planning. You do all of that. But one of the most important things you can do is communicate with your family. Now, what do I mean by that? It means having dinner and just talking. Well, here's what I'm after. All these plans are great, but you need to let your family know that they're in place. You need to have a place you keep things. You need to let them know where it is. You know, there are stories after stories after stories of families that say that, well, you know, mom or dad told us that not to worry and everything will be fine. And then when something happened, they couldn't find things. And I've had a couple of situations not long ago where there were stock certificates that were lost, or the key to the safety deposit box couldn't be located, or there were actual cash monies that were left and couldn't be found. Or, you know, with the proliferation of people having cash at home because they're concerned about not being able to get cash from an ATM because of some sort of cyber attack, or not. The other one is also gold, having actual physical gold. You know, all those things, you need to let people know where things are. Now, I'm not saying advertise it to everyone. Be very careful who you tell, because if a friend tells a friend tells a friend, you may have a problem. What I'm really getting at is having communication with your family so they know what to do. If you have a will, a trust, all those documents, especially the power of attorney, where are they? Make sure your family knows. Now, you don't have to tell them every single thing about your finances. A lot of families are reluctant to do that for several reasons. They like their privacy. They don't want the kids to have an expectation about those monies. Maybe they don't want it to impair their drive or work ethic. You know, if mom and dad are worth a couple million dollars, and son or daughter says to themselves, well, you know what, I'm going to get that. Maybe I don't work so hard, or maybe I don't take that opportunity that requires me to work a little harder. Parents are concerned about that. There's also the concern about being hit up for gifts or a whole manner of different things. And there's also the very real element that is still thinking about the kids as kids. You still remember the diaper days, and you don't really think of them as an adult. Well, we've got to get over all of that and have those conversations so that when the memory isn't as good, or when something happens, you know, if you are incapacitated, you say you go in for some routine surgery and there's a problem, they need to know where to go. They need to know how to get to your checking account to pay your bills. There needs to be that communication. When do you tell them? When do you talk to them? I always say sooner rather than later, because accidents happen. Tell them what your income sources are. Where do you get your income from? Again, you don't have to tell them everything, but you need to say, look, I've got Social Security. I've got this pension. I've got this source of income, just so they know. Taxes. Where do you get your taxes done? Who's the tax preparer? Where do you keep your tax returns? Who's the financial planner? What's the name of the company? Where are they located? What's the telephone number? Get an extra business card and say, here, you know, put that in your pocket, or put that somewhere where you can have it if something happens. Let them know where these things are and who to talk to, because they may need to access this information. They might need to get with these people. I talked about online banking, credit cards. All of these things are important things. Do you own your home? Where's the deed? If the bank owns it, you've got a mortgage, who is it? Where's the mortgage documents? The most recent statement. What if you can't pay your bill? You want to make sure somebody else can step in and do that. What else is out there? I mentioned the safety deposit box. Oh, if you're renting, where's the lease agreement? Just think through the kinds of things people would need to have or be able to look at to be able to step in and handle your affairs while you cannot. And then if you do pass, they then can go through those things in an orderly fashion. They can look at what needs to be done. Without that, it can be a real mess. In other words, if you've gone to the trouble, and it's not really a lot of trouble, but if you've been proactive and smart about making sure you've got all these things put in place, then take the extra step and make sure that all of those documents are in a known place and that your family knows what to do. You know, there's a briefcase where you keep all of this in one place and your kids know where it is. Or there's a safe in your house, and your kids know where to find the combination to the safe. I mean, these are just some of the different things to think about to make life easier for your survivors. Where do you keep extra sets of keys? How about an alarm system? All common sense stuff, but again, you've worked hard all your life to accumulate and to protect your money, to have it be what you want. And if you've gone to the extra step of getting all the estate planning done, and if you haven't, please do so. But to have all that put in place is a great gift. It's a great legacy and for the family. I've worked with families in the two extremes where one has had everything buttoned down to the point there is a binder which has everything in it, and it is typed and it is organized and it has each section marked out of what's where, and it's this excellent roadmap. And then I've worked with families where it's chaos, where nobody knows where anything is. And of course, I can tell you that with those two extremes, which one do you think created more stress for the family? Which one was more expensive to take care of? Which one had more legal costs associated with it? You know, sometimes people are reluctant to spend money putting a will or trust or things like that in place because they just don't want to be bothered. A lot of people don't like thinking about their own mortality, and they think they have plenty of time, and very often they just don't want to spend the money. You don't have those things in place, or if you are cheap about them, and what I mean by that, if you've gone with kind of a handwritten will or trust, or you've done something on the computer, or you filled in the blank with some forms, those things may not get the job done, and ironically, may end up costing a lot more than if you had just gone to an attorney, found somebody you trust, somebody you're comfortable with, and somebody that is going to be fair about the price of these services to get the documents you need in place. That ultimate cost can be far, far less than if you had tried to do it on your own or tried to go, quote unquote, the cheap or easy or less expensive way. So I'm a big advocate of talking to your family, have that communication. Maybe remember the diaper days, but get over that, get past that, have that communication with your family, and make sure that things are organized just in case, because you just don't know. And we've had phone calls in my office of people where we get the call from the child, and somebody has either become ill or they have died, and we are surprised because it happens sometimes not at expected time. So these are all important things for you to plan your future and plan them stronger.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.